Visitation and Caregiving is the ministry session we're about to hear from Mrs. Joyce Jones. Mrs. Joyce Jones assists her husband in the Berean Adult Bible Class at Lancaster Baptist Church and is the mother of 6 children with 5 in full-time ministry. This session was part of the Spiritual Leadership Conference 2010 hosted by Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church.
My husband and I came to Lancaster Baptist Church in 1989, the fall of 1989. We actually came as a result of my husband coming up here. He worked for Abeka, and he did the schools, helped setting up Christian schools. And so this was part of his territory, and he came and he met Pastor Chappell, and he was starting up a school. And we were living down in L.A. at the time. We had just moved out here from Tennessee, which was quite a culture shock for us. But in meeting him, my husband came home that day, and he said, "We're moving to Lancaster." He said, "I've met a pastor up there." He said, "He's phenomenal. The vision of this man is unbelievable." And so we came in the fall of 1989, and I was impressed at the old church downtown. If some of you, you know, obviously, how many of you are new this year to the conference? Okay, a few of you. Okay. If you'll hear Pastor refer to the old church downtown, you ought to just find out where it's at and go by and look at it. It's just unique. But I remember thinking about putting my children in this school when we first moved up here, and all they had was just a little tiny area of play, and I was so impressed at the attitude of the children and their sincerity of just being in this school. And it was very small at the very beginning, and I thought, that's where I want my children to be and to be a part of this ministry. And we've never left. We came in 1989 and stayed. Since that time, I taught in the school, and their first years they couldn't have, I mean, it was small enough that they had to be combined classes. So I had first and second grade for quite a few years. One year I actually taught first, second, and third grade in that old church. That was pretty unique, too. Some of you, if you're teachers, you teach a little bit here, then you get them started. You teach a little bit this way and get them started, teach a little bit this way, and then you're back to the first grade again. So first, second, third, all day long. And so that was a unique experience. And then when they started the college, I worked in the college for a while. And now I'm full-time only in the high school. I teach 9 through 12th grade and a little bit of the 8th grade, but mostly 9 through 12, and I teach the English and the literature and things like that. But I love where the Lord's placed us, and I am eternally thankful. I've told some people before that our pastor in Tennessee, we loved him dearly, and we were there many years, but when he heard we were coming out here, we had small children still, and he said, "You're going to lose your children. Do you realize that? You leave this area, you're going to lose your children." That was scary to me, because you take what your pastor, the counsel, and that was scary. And I told my husband, I said, "What do you think?" And he said, "Do you have peace about going?" And I did, and so did he. So I am so thankful, and I think it's been the making of my children very much. I have 6 children. My son works in the graphics department. He does the brochures and all the things that you've been giving, does the screens and all of that, the Baptist Voice. So he's very much a part of the ministry here. My oldest daughter is Mrs. Whitman. Some of you may know Brother Whitman. That's his wife. And so she's in the ministry. She teaches school here as well. I have a daughter in Russia. Her and her husband are working there as missionaries. I have a daughter that's teaching in North Carolina in a Christian school, and another one was teaching in Brother Willette's school, but she's expecting now, so she had to submit to that. And so I'm excited about that. So that kind of lets you know who I am a little bit. Not that I'm important, but sometimes when I hear a speaker, I like to know what areas of ministry that they've been in. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of coming before you. Lord, we are nothing except for your grace. And Lord, thank you so much for the lessons and the things that you've already taught us in the services. Lord, even the beginning of our Sunday morning service and reminding us, Lord, that we need to become as a little child and see people as children and have the sensitive heart as a child. And Lord, especially the topic that I have today, I pray that you'll help us to remember that, to not think of only ourselves and who we are and what we can accomplish, but Lord, what you want to accomplish through us. Bless these ladies. Thank you for bringing them to us. And I pray, Lord, that all of us will learn something today as a result of these scriptures and the truths that we find in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I ask you to turn to Exodus 18. And if you do not have an outline, just raise your hand and she can bring that to you. I'm going to read some verses for a while. And to me, it sets the tone of the whole thing. The verses can be applied to the other things that I say later. And I do have some verses sprinkled in. But to me, this just helps us to know about visiting and caregiving. And first, let's talk about the philosophy. Where do we get this? Our pastor never does anything without a biblical reason behind it, and we should not. When our children ask us, why do we do this? We shouldn't say, because the pastor says, or because our Sunday school teacher says. All they do is have animosity toward those people, because you've changed my life. And it should be a verse that we give them, and okay, it's based on this. So Exodus 18, starting at verses 13 to 26. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, what is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning until even? And Moses said unto his father-in-law, because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me. And I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, the thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee. For this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice, I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, and fifties, and rulers of ten. And let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law, and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And they judged the people at all seasons. The hard causes they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. And another verse is in 2 Corinthians 11:28, reminding us of Paul. And when he was stressed with all the things that came upon him, he made this comment, beside those things that are without, all of the beatings and all of the things that he endured and all of the stuff, he said, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And you say, what does that have to do with visiting and caring? Because a pastor cannot do everything. They want to, and their heart's desire is to do that, but they also allow church members to step into that realm, not in the judging. I probably would have changed the judging, but God was talking about the judging of it. But looking at things and analyzing things in order to be a help to our pastor. Let's face it, as ladies, we talk to other ladies and we know what they're going through or what some element that might be a hindrance to them in serving the Lord, or maybe they're lost. There's a lot of different scenarios we'll talk about today. But it helps one-on-one that we can go in and visit with those people and talk to them and know, to help pastors know the state of their flocks, because they're required to know that. And if we can help them in that way, then that's the blessing that he wants us to do. And so beginning with that, I told you it's always based upon a biblical reference. Romans also. Romans 12:9-18, and I put the references, but I'm going to read these. Because as I talk, I trust that you'll remember back, that verse. And maybe these verses will help solidify some things as being a visitor, going out into the homes and visiting people and encouraging them, and also caring for them, not just older folks, but all areas of life. People need to have care given to them. So a biblical reference in Romans, let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, that's a key element, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Aren't you thankful for that one? It doesn't say you have to live peaceably. It just says as much as lieth in you. And all of us are going to run across those people that just rub us the wrong way, or we just don't seem to connect with them. Then we need to find somebody that will connect with them and help in some of those. And we'll talk about that. Galatians is another to remind me. Galatians 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. That will go with some things that we're talking about today. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. You know, sometimes I'll think, well, they're a Christian. They should grow up. They should be able to handle this. They should do this. But it says, even those that are of the household of faith, even brothers and sisters, you need to care for them. Not just looking at lost people or those that are wayward in that element. But, and again, we'll talk about that. 1 Peter 3:8, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful or be full of pity, and be courteous. Colossians 3 has some verses. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And 1 John 4:7-11. And we know those, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And verse 11, I'm going to skip to that one. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Quite a commandment, quite a lot of reminders of how our attitude should be and what kind of thinking we should have. And all of those are challenging. Every time I read any of those verses, I think, whoa, that one I could think on for a good while and work on it. And does my life even submit to that? Okay, let's talk at letter B, the pastoral requirements. Your pastor may have requirements set up for your church in visitation and the caring, how he wants it done, what the philosophy and what it's based upon. I put down some things that I know about our pastor and some things that are kind of general, I think. Number one, to be an extension of him. We are an extension of him. As a school teacher, I'm reminded all the time, how I talk to those children are the way pastor would talk to those children. how I run my class should be the way pastor would run that class. When I go out and knock on a door, how I respond to that person should be the way pastor would respond to that person. That's a great challenge, because within ourselves, we want to say, well, same to you, you know, or whatever. I had one the other day that we went. It was a new move-in, and I was taking an elderly lady with me, and we were visiting, and so we make actual visits. She can't walk a lot to do that. And we knocked on the door, and I could hear somebody holler from inside, "Who are you?" So I answered, "We're from Lancaster Baptist Church. We just want to welcome you to the neighborhood and leave something." And then I just heard this mumble, and I didn't hear anything else. And I waited and waited, because sometimes they'll say just a minute or whatever. So I waited, waited, no answer. So I thought, okay, I'll just leave the tract. And we got all the way out back to the car, and he comes flying out of the door, furious. And, you know, walked up to this dear little lady. He didn't do it to me. I was on the other side of the car about ready to get in, and did it to her, wadded up the track, you know, and he said, "I don't want this. I'm fine. I'm good." And some of us, we've heard that just recently in the preaching. "I'm good," you know. And she just smiled, and she said, "God bless you," you know. And she got in the car. And I told my husband, she's been the greatest soul-winning just lady to go out with me. She has a verse continually flowing, and it's not hypocritical, you know, like somebody's just sounding. It's just she has a verse for everything. And she said, "Joyce, one day he's going to realize he isn't good, and he's going to need that tract, and he doesn't have it anymore." And she just kept flowing with it. And I thought, that's the way pastor would respond, and that's the way I should respond to everything. Two, to see all are cared for. That's pastor's heart, to make every hospital visit, to make every new person that comes to our church, to make every visit. That's his heart. He cannot do that. And so he needs the rest of us to step in and help. Number three, to be ministers and servants of Christ extends to not only the church, but the community and the workplace. If we only extend it to the church, then it's just we four and no more. It's just right there. You need to work in the community. So many of our families, they have a job in the community. I'm going to be honest, I'm very isolated because I'm a part of this ministry. And it's more challenging for me because I have to go out and make sure that I'm visiting and meeting people. And, you know, if somebody comes to my door, I get to talk to them when I'm home. And we have to reach out to everybody. So those of you that work out and about, you have a great privilege to do that and to meet new people. And number four, to always go in twos. Always go in twos. Never go alone. Go in twos. That's a requirement, and that's just law, and especially in the days we are in. Here in our Sunday school, not too long ago, I guess a few years ago, I lose track, they divided our Sunday school, the adult Sunday school, into age groups. And then within those groups, we have what we call care groups, and I'm sure they teach that in other sessions, but we divide the Sunday school class role up into certain groups, and we have, you know, certain ladies or families that will be responsible to call these people and to check on them. And if it's holiday time, sometimes we give them gifts or we do a variety of things. And that's pretty much open-ended. You can think of lots of things to do. But that's a way to kind of meet the needs. In our Sunday school class, we have care groups, but we have such a fellowshipy class. I don't know how to explain that. They come early. They just sit there and talk and fellowship. They want that fellowship time. And so they interact like that very much every Sunday morning. And so we rarely have to call them and to say, "Get back in church," because they're there pretty often. It's just the uniqueness of our class. Okay, so, number two, people diversities. Nothing challenges me to get into the scriptures more than working with people. Because you just have to go to the Word to keep your heart right or to look for answers to help those people. I do not have all the answers, obviously, but God does. And the more we're in the Word, the more we're going to have answers to that. I don't know about you, every time I go door knocking, and I love door knocking, I prefer door knocking over, you know, the visit. Because sometimes if you're driving like three visits in a night, unless you line them up ahead of time, since so many people today say, "No, this isn't a good time." So I rarely like to call them ahead of time. I like to just pop in on them. That's me. But the door knocking is, every door is a challenge. Every door is, you don't know how their response is going to be. It's just more I guess, challenging for me, because then they'll ask me something or they'll go a certain direction and I'll think, okay, what do I answer here? You know, Lord, what did I just remember reading, or what did Pastor say? And invariably, Pastor will answer those questions the very next week, or somebody will, and I'll think, that was the answer, or in my Bible reading, oh, that's what I could have answered. So those kind of things are very important. And he gave us things in the scripture for our end samples. 1 Corinthians 10:11, 1 Thessalonians 1:7, and 1 Peter 5:3. They're talking about that the things in the Bible were for our examples, the way people are. Somebody asked my husband Sunday, he was talking about Judas Iscariot. And they said they've always had a question. Was Judas good and then became bad? Or, you know, and they just had questions about Judas for a long time. And the Lord gave my husband, he just told him, he goes, no, things in the Bible are for our examples. And Jesus handpicked Judas. I mean, it says that in Scripture. He chose them all. And she goes, well, didn't he know? And, well, obviously he did. He knew that he would not. Yet up until the very last moment, he reached out and called him friend. And he said all the time the Lord was giving him opportunities to be saved, all the way up. Even in the garden when he led the betrayers, or the people there as he betrayed him. He said even in that last moment, he called him friend. And then he just turned and he said, okay, whatever you're going to do, do quickly. And that. So it's for us to learn. Never give up on anybody. Keep, you know, reaching out to them and going on and back to them and that. Okay, four, there's probably a lot more different kinds of people, but I kind of categorize them. Discouraged people. The discouraged people. Those that are downhearted or woe is me. There's so many different ways you could describe discouraged. A retired person becomes discouraged because they're used to working and now they're not, and so there's not enough to keep them occupied. I don't know what you would place in discouraged, but be aware that there are discouraged people out there. There's departed people, really meaning that they've lost a loved one. I needed my D's. So departed, they've lost a loved one. And one of the things I've noticed from my own mom back in Kansas. The last years of my dad's life, he was ill enough that she could not leave him. If she left him, he just went berserko. And they were in a home, kind of, like an independent living type home. But she had to stay with him all the time. And I know that there's some ladies in our church that their husband was like that. They could not leave them, and they had to minister to them all the time. Well, when that mate dies, they have nothing to do anymore. And they are just... I watched the lady in our church. She was just kind of lost for a little bit. It's like, what do I do? So I told her, here's some things you can do. Here's something you can do at home. I could use this help, you know, and trying to find her things. She comes down and serves at the lunches, and I think she comes every day and does that. She's just filled her life now with others that she didn't have. So we need to be aware of that. How do we respond to those people? See, disgruntled people, somebody that's upset. We need to go and find out and not just say, okay, what's the matter, you know. There's ways of just talking, you know, I've just missed you, and we'll talk about that as well. But disgruntled and disabled. Disabled people, loss of mobility. Even if they just break a leg, okay, they've lost that mobility. And they're a person that, you know, if they're used to being up and doing things, that bothers them a lot. And especially if they're laid up for a while. A broken bone. I know some ladies that are losing their sight. Interesting, the Lord had me learn a couple years ago that I have glaucoma. And it's, you know, if you have that, you don't know it. And, you know, the eye doctor just finds it. But they can stop it if you find out, you know, right away. And then you start doing drops. And you've lost some sight a little bit, but once they put the drops in, they keep telling me, you're fine, you're good to go. Now, you won't recover this little bit of an area. But the other, okay, I have some ladies in my Sunday school class that they are almost legally blind as a result of some of that. And that's frustrating to them. Sometimes they're here, and then sometimes they'll miss a Sunday or two. And I just know that she's a little overwhelmed. She can't read anymore. I told her, I said, okay, I'll get you the Bible on tapes. And so you can do that. And just trying to think of some things that we can be to helpful. Okay, number three, provision, discernment. Oh, pray and pray. Too often we underestimate the power of a touch, a smile, a kind word, a listening ear, an honest compliment, or the smallest act of caring, all of which have the potential to turn a life around toward our Lord. Just a touch on the shoulder, just a hug. There's some people that they don't have a mate anymore, they miss a hug. My mom's a long way away, I miss her hug. So when I have ladies that remind me or they're old enough to be my mom, I just give them a hug because I know how I feel. I hope somebody's hugging my mom when I'm not there. And so try to think of that. Pray for God's wisdom to know into what area the person's needs fall. Number A, is it a spiritual need? Is the person saved? Are they lost? You need discernment. And you get that not always by saying, are you lost? Are you saved? Are you going to heaven? Are you going to hell? Sometimes just in making bonds with them and talking. I'm not saying don't do the other, you do. But try to discern, where are they? What background are they from? I always ask them that. Have you gone to church? You know, what background are you from? And if they say none, or I used to go to a Baptist church, or I'm Catholic, or I'm this, or I've been all these things, right then I start thinking, okay, what's the direction that I can go with this? Is the person being defeated? Are they discouraged by Satan in the spiritual realm? Is he a new believer and just weak in some areas? Some of them can be going along and they've got that exuberance and then all of a sudden you don't see them, you know, excited anymore. Okay, Satan doesn't like that and he'll work on them with that. Be emotional. Oh, so many different emotions people can have. Sadness, sorrow, fear, anger, loneliness, and you could add whatever on there. Physical needs. Do they have a medical issue? Do they have trouble paying their bills? Have they, you know, whatever. Anything physical, elements. It could even be physically their body. Deep practical things. Do they just need somebody to listen to them? Sometimes I've made a visit, you know, thinking I'll just run in real quick, you know, and touch base with this person and come out an hour later. And I think, whoa, I really didn't have the hour. And the Lord reminds me, yes, you did. That's why he sent you. This person needed that. It wasn't a wasteful time. They just needed to talk. They just needed to unload. And sometimes they'll say, oh, that really helped me. You know, and you didn't even say anything. You just listened. Anything like that, practical ear. Maybe they just need to get involved. Maybe, you know, whatever element on that again. Okay, Roman numeral 4, prescription described. What kind of prescription? Aesop, in Aesop's fables, he said, no act of kindness, no matter how small, is ever wasted. Have you ever done something and nobody acknowledged it and you thought, well, that was a waste? Don't ever think that. Everything has an element of thankfulness to it. You just may not ever receive that. Some things do visit before surgery. Sometimes people don't like to visit the hospital. They don't like to visit when they know somebody is going through surgery or going to have surgery. So these are some things I just ran across and thought that I've experienced. Do visit them unless they have from their family. Check with a family member before you just rush into the room. Some people are very private people, and they just do not want the visit. We had one of those recently that my husband and I, pastor sent us to the hospital. He said, go touch base. The wife was almost in a, they had induced her into a coma. So he said, go talk to the husband. And somebody made a comment, he's a private person. He was a private person, all right. Because my husband, who does lots of visiting, and he can talk to anyone, he tried to make conversation with the gentleman, and he's a member of our church, but he said, no, I'm talking to my Sunday school teacher. I keep abreast with my Sunday school teacher. And my husband said, that's really good. Is there anything we can do? No, my Sunday school teacher will help with that. And that was good that he did, but just don't be put off by that. Just know that, okay, then here's my number if you need me, you know, or if you need anything, pastor sent us to just be a blessing to you. And that was it. You could go away saying, okay, I'll never do that again. You can't do that. Because he was private, and that was it. When she passed away, not too many weeks after that, the man was a changed person. he came to the hall and got us, and he pulled us in. He said, you want to see her? And just yak, the whole thing. Because he had gotten peace with the Lord over it, and then he was fine. So you just have to, you know, sense those things out. So under do visit before surgery, do you have some points under that? No? Yes? Take along your sense of humor. Is that there? But take your cues from the patient, okay? Don't just go in there, yak, and laugh. The person may not want that. So take your cues from that one. If they're kind of joking, then, you know, you can maybe joke back and respond back to them. Keep confidentialities. I couldn't star that one enough. Sometimes people are on medication, and they'll tell you and say things. Just be sensitive, and it's just done. Done deal. You walk out, it's gone. If it's something that pastor needs to know, then obviously that's the one that needs to hear that, because he is responsible for the state of the flocks, and he needs to know that. Do be cheerful, but be sensitive. Do focus the conversation on the person, not on your own problems. Sometimes I've seen that where somebody goes in to be a blessing to somebody, and how can we help, because that's your purpose, and you go away and the person isn't helped, and all they did is you unloaded on them. They don't need that, so be aware of that. Do take a little surprise and end the visit well. Doesn't mean you have to spend a lot, just take something. Brother Schmidt said this morning about all these little mini books and things that we have around here, or, you know, just a little cutesy thing or something. Find out from the family if there's something special that the person needs or likes, and that would help. Do star this one. Do read scripture with them. Never leave without giving them a verse. Ask them. I've asked people, do you have some special verses that I could read? Sometimes they say yes. Sometimes they'll say it's all good. You know, just read to me. And then just ask the Lord, okay, where? And have some things to do that. Do make prayer an integral part of reaching inactives. Prayer should be an integral part. When I make a visit on somebody who's not coming, or they've, you can sense there's a little animosity, or there's just something, I always will, you know, smile and just talk to them about different things, and then ask them, you know, we've missed you at church, but, you know, and yak a little bit. And then I always ask them, may I pray? You know what? Rarely. In fact, I don't even remember somebody who said, no, I don't want to. They will always let you pray. And then you can word your prayer very carefully, not antagonistically, but you can word it in the right way and ask the Lord to help and to bless that home. Do make face-to-face visits rather than phone calls. I despise phone calls. To make them, I do not like making phone calls. If I have to, I'll smile and do it. But I'd much rather do face-to-face. Emails I'll do, but even in that, you can't sense the person. When you look eyeball to eyeball with somebody, you can tell where they're at. They can't hide things very often with that. So I'd much rather make those. Do communicate that the visit is not out of necessity, but out of love. Sometimes our pastor will say, go by and visit this person. I feel like, you know, some things, you know, they just need some encouragement. Go by and do that. Sometimes I just go on my own, you know, touch somebody's life that I know. I teach their child and they're going through some problems. Okay, then I'll go by and visit with them or something. But I've had people also say, did pastor send you? Are you having to do that because somebody sent you? You know, and so you have to, they just think, okay, if it's that, it's not because you really care. It's just because on checklist, you know, or something like that. So you have to be very gracious and kind. Help them to know, no, I was thinking of you the other day. That helps if you write notes to people and to do that as well. Do try to find out why, if they're not coming, try to find out why they're not coming. Don't do it by just say, you know, I want to know why you're not coming. If you listen long enough and talk about different things, you will pick up on some things, and that will help you. By listening, that way they don't see you as a prosecutor, somebody just coming in to do that. Here are some suggestions of things of why people no longer are coming. I put down John 6:66. The disciples left. Remember, the Lord looked and he goes, they left. Are you going to leave me too? So that might be a, you know, an element that maybe for some reason they've just changed a little bit, or they don't understand some things. Hebrews, not forsaking the assembling of things together. sometimes people will do that. They'll just say, oh, I went Sunday morning. Well, around here it's Three to Thrive, and we try to get you to do Three to Thrive. Because the very message, I don't know about you, when I was in college, I sometimes had to work round the clock and still go to college. So I would, I worked in a hospital as a nurse's aide, and sometimes did a little more than that. But when I worked there, I would work the late afternoon shift, and then sometimes in the winter, the other nurses couldn't come in or something, and they'd come and they'd say, Joyce, can you work a double shift? Sure, I'll work a double shift. So then I'd work through the night, and then I had to go to class that morning. And sometimes, and a lot of times, that was hard to do that. And I would think, and others at the college would say, Joyce, you worked round the clock. You know, you could stay in this morning, rest, and then go Sunday night. And I said, no, because I'll probably miss something. And invariably, that was my heart. It really was. I didn't want to miss something. Somebody would get saved that morning, or the pastor would preach on something that I really wanted to hear about, or I just didn't want to miss. So that was just from my early years of doing that. Demas, you know how the story that Demas hath left me, forsaken me to love this present world. And Luke 15, the parable of the lost things, reminding us that there are some lost sheep, or the lady who found her lost piece, or the son that went away. So all of those are a variety of things, and the scriptures talk about why people go away. Why are they not here anymore? Galatians reminds us to restore another in the spirit of meekness, and I read that already. Jay, do follow up as soon as possible. Watch the date on the visit that you're given. Ours are always dated. What service? So you can always go to the calendar and find out, okay, did they visit Sunday morning? Did they visit this? If they visited Sunday morning, that opens the door a little bit. I said, did you come to the 8:30 service or the 11? Did you come to Sunday school? And there's just some things that you can find on that. It will usually tell us if they're interested in salvation or if they're interested in membership, which doesn't always mean that they're saved. They just want to join the church. So it helps us on our visits to help with that as well. Or if somebody tells you, would you go visit this person? Ask them questions about them so you have a good substance to go with. And V, performance determined. Be aware of our own limitations in the help that we can give. Know your limitations physically. You know, if they want something moved physically, you know, if you say, no, I can't do this, but I know some people that can come and help. If there's some people that, you know, things like that. Financially, spiritually. Just know your limitations in those areas. Care is not counseling. Care is not counseling. Sometimes people say, I just love to counsel. I don't. I don't want that responsibility. You can give them verses, and you can pray, and you can give them lots of verses. If they ask you a question about something, what about this? What about this? And if you don't know a verse right then, tell them, I will look that up, I will get back to you, and I will come back with the answers that you're looking for, that what God says about this. Because if we tell them this book is the answer to everything, and then we don't give them any of it, we just give what comes out our mouth, we could send them in the wrong way. And do you know that legally you are responsible if somebody does something under your counsel? I don't want that responsibility at all. So care is not counseling. Give scripture, lots of scripture. Pray, encourage them. Don't give your own advice. If my husband said the other day at the hospital, they had to make a decision, the family, about something. And they turned to him and they said, what would you do? He said, what do you want to do? You know, he had to turn it back around. And now they are long friends of my husband. So after he said, what do you want to do? What do you feel is right to do? What is the family consensus? And they told what they were going to do. What do you think? And he said, if it were my mom, that's probably what I would do as well. But he didn't even, and if it was somebody else, he probably wouldn't have done even that much. But you have to be very, very careful about that. Get the information to someone who can help. If they are in need of some spiritual help beyond you and they do need counseling, you can be aware of what your church does. I mean, if I had a lady who said, I need counseling in this area, I'd rattle off. You can go to this lady, because they're authorized by pastor to do that. And those are the ones he allows. I don't just send her to anybody. Same, I'm sure, with the men. There are certain men that have the authority of pastor, you will counsel, and that's it, because it's safer. He's protecting his ministry. I'm going to be honest with that. Okay, care is about the person in need, not the person helping. Keep your focus on that person. You can share your personal testimony of how the Lord has helped you. If you have a similar experience, but remember, don't get so much on your similar experience than what needs to be. And I'm looking around, there's some ladies in here that were gracious to me, and they remembered that. When I needed some, you know, elements of things, they shared with me how, what it was in their life, and then they left it. And then it allowed the Lord to work in that element in my life, and I'm very thankful for that. They didn't go on and on and on. They just did a little bit, and that was great. D, keep the pastor's office informed of the visit and the care results. Turn in an accurate record. List any concerns, any needs, or helpful information. Remember that pastor's the one responsible for the flock, and I keep saying that because we can't forget that. And E, do not put self in compromising or dangerous situations. Don't do that. If you sense it's dangerous, you don't go anywhere near that. Sometimes I'll knock on a door and you'll hear a voice say, come on in. No, I just don't go in. And that's even with a partner. I just don't. So be very careful. I don't know, maybe I have an evil mind sometimes, but in the day that we're living, it's unbelievable. I've door knocked. In fact, the other day I took Allegra with me, my 17-year-old, and we were knocking on a door, and a guy opened a door and stood, you know, thankfully behind the door. My daughter was on this side. I try to stand on this side if she's with me so that when the door opens, she doesn't get the view before I do. From all I could tell in the way they were standing, you know, he probably didn't have that much on, and I thought, had he just hollered and we just thought, oh, well, my daughter's with, I've got a partner. No, you cannot do that. And you don't know when Satan wants to attack a ministry. That's what I'm thinking. It would destroy this ministry and, you know, people within it if it got out or they took pictures or, I don't know, there's just bizarre wackos out there. So it's just wiser not to even do that. My daughter the other day, she said, Mom, when she went to in a store dressing room, she said, I don't even want to, you know, try on clothes. She leaves her skirt and pulls the skirt up under it like that because she's heard that they even do, you know, pornography stuff and that element in stores and stuff like that. And so, whatever. Okay. I just read that one. Okay. F, find out the background information before the visit. And that will help very much. G, do not make promises that you cannot keep or that cannot be kept. I was with somebody one time, and they promised, oh, our church will do that for you. They'll meet that need. You have those bills? Our pastor pays bills. I thought, my soul. He does. But you can't promise. Oh, Mrs. Chapman's back here croaking. She's our bookkeeper. But you cannot promise things. Don't promise. You can promise anything that the Lord will do. Promises of the Lord, done deal. But other promises, be very careful. Do not commit money, yourself, the pastor, or church family. Don't even commit somebody in the church family to do something for somebody. Oh, they own this business. I'm sure they can help you do this. No, don't do that. And do not get involved in family disputes. Okay. My husband does a lot of hospital visiting. He has seen that, very much so. Never take sides and give scripture, always. Pray for wisdom for both sides. Say, let's pray about that. And then ask the Lord, give this family wisdom, give this person. If they're in charge of things you know, for that family, then give them wisdom from your word. Find out if they're lost or whatever. And then always take some material with you that you can leave. Tracts, various topical booklets, depending upon what kind of visit you're making. I always try to leave something. Words to an inspirational poem or song. Sometimes just type those up. Sometimes just make a print of a song and take it by. This song was a blessing. There are certain songs. Are you like this in church? You hear a certain song and the tears just kind of, they may not drip, but they're, oh, that is a song that touches my heart. Well, do that for people. Find out if they have a special song or whatever. CDs, DVDs, a book about a subject in which the person has questions. You know, our pastor preached on that, or there's a book in our bookstore about that. Let me bring that back to you. Then you can get a second visit. Be wise. What is it? Wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. Sometimes I'll make a visit, and then I'll think, oh, I don't want to go right back, but, oh, I could take this to them. And just tell them, okay, while I was in the neighborhood, I just thought of you, and I brought this along here. And then they don't feel like, oh, you're nagging me, you're here again. Just have something constantly. Oh, we just had this brochure. Thought you might enjoy this or read through this. This quote, I don't really know who said it, but I like it. I expect to pass through the world but once. Any good, therefore, that I can do, or any kindness I can show to any person, let me do it now. Let me not defer it, for I shall not pass this way again. And that's true. That reminded, that verse, or that statement, reminded me of the preacher on Sunday, of just the little girl who was touched by seeing people. And what about this person? And they didn't go to church today. And seeing people as children and having a care for them and think, okay, how would I want to be treated? How would I think a lot of my mom, because she's so far away from me, how would I want somebody to treat her? What would I want? You know, if somebody needs a ride, oh, that's an inconvenience to me. No, it's not, because if she needed a ride, I'd want somebody to get her to church and things like that. So try to see things in that realm. And I trust that the caregiving that we can do is limitless. Ask the Lord to give you ideas. I wrote out some ideas, and I was going to pass them out, and I thought, you know, it's very limiting to do that. Think of just what could I do, and how could I touch somebody's life. Some suggested going to a thrift store or a yard sale and just buying little glassware that you could put something in, and just going to, the Dollar Tree and buying those plastic flowers and cutting them apart and sticking them in there and fixing it with a ribbon and just taking it by some senior saints or somebody who's lost a loved one or somebody that just needs a little encouragement. And it could be real flowers even. Find a florist that would help you with that. And maybe they do it as a tax write-off, I don't know, if you were doing a few at a time. But it's limitless, the idea. Pastor has a neighbor day, and he tells us to just surprise people with things. Sometimes when you're in a restaurant, just spot somebody and go tell the waiter, I want to pay for their bill today. Some suggested when you go to Starbucks, you know, give money extra and say, pay for the next person behind me or whatever. And just surprise people, because in our world, nobody thinks anybody does anything kind anymore. And who knows, if you do that, I would like to attach like a tract or some way that they would know, not always just random. When we do those other things, we let them know that who it's from, or that it's from our church or whatever, or just from you because you would like to invite them.
We trust this ministry workshop session was a blessing to you. Plan now to join us in the second week of July for Spiritual Leadership Conference 2011 as Lancaster Baptist Church celebrates 25 years of ministry. Let us know if there is any way we can be a blessing to you.